Hey, it's Tony Bruschi. This Thanksgiving weekend, we're taking a look back at some of the most compelling cases and conversations that we've had in the last year. Here's another one of those conversations.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi.
This last week, I had the opportunity to sit down and have an in-depth conversation with private investigator Thomas Brennan. Tom is the private investigator that's been hired by the parents of Ellen Greenberg, Joshua and Sandy Greenberg, as they search for justice and answers in the death of their daughter. A death that was quite clearly a homicide, considering she was stabbed 20 times. Several of those stab wounds, fatal blows, which would make it a physical impossibility for her to continue stabbing herself up to 20 times. The problem with this is her death has been labeled as suicide by the Philadelphia Police Department, a department which refuses to investigate the death further and refuses to change the cause of death to homicide, which it rightfully should be. Why is that? Why is it so difficult? And why are so many refusing to speak the truth about the death of Ellen Greenberg? We discuss all of that and more in this five-part series, our conversation with Thomas Brennan, private investigator into the death of Ellen Greenberg. New episodes every day this week, Monday through Friday, here on the podcast. Can you clear up for us the door lock? Because that always is another interesting point on this, where it's similar to a hotel door lock. It's the latch that goes over. And the story that we had heard was that when you got up there after getting the maintenance person who couldn't break in, but then Samuel actually did break down the door, said, well, it was locked from the inside. Looks like, oh, well, then how could you have possibly been in there? And he did check out on security cameras as being at the gym in some of that time window. What can you speak to about the lock and that time window as well, and the alibi that Sam has?
Well, if you take a look at that, the door lock, okay, mm-hmm. That sliding bar lock, okay, is mounted on the door and the door jamb.
Okay.
In order for that lock, okay, to open up, once it's placed as it should be in a lock position, mm-hmm. you one or the other piece has to be completely dismounted, you know, mm-hmm. before it would open.
Sure.
Before you could get in. The particle board door on the apartment has the mounting for that lock. There's four screws in. Okay, mm-hmm. one of them are out. Three are still in mounting. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's a particle board door. Where should the particle from that door be in that screw?
Okay.
That particle board, you know, there wasn't any, you know, you take a look at the floor. Yeah. It's not there.
Okay.
So, Dr. Lee, who is I don't know if you ever heard of him. Mm-hmm. He's a renowned forensic scientist. He has his own institute up at the University, you know, Connecticut.
Sure.
I send it up there and I ask him to take a look at it, to take a look at this case. Mm-hmm. And he comes back and he says, Tom, you know, to me, it's a homicide. And he said, to me, there's evidence of cleaning up. Mm-hmm. And I also had a crime scene analyst, a detective, I had him take a look at it. He says the same thing. Okay, so when you see they don't find, you know, that there's three screws still in the door. Mm-hmm. Okay, the fourth screw, you can't find it anywhere. You take a look at the floor. There isn't any evidence. There should be some type of wood chips or something there.
Sure.
There's nothing. Nothing.
Because he broke the door down, correct? This is what the story is. Do we know that he truly did break the door down the way it's described?
No.
Okay.
No. I have my own thoughts regarding what was done with that lock. So, I'd rather just, leave it as is. Mm-hmm. The Pennsylvania State Police, God bless them, they sent me to lock picking school down in Florida. Okay.
Yeah.
For a couple of weeks. And I did all the surreptitious entries, for the state police. So don't tell me that, anything about, don't tell me that you hit that door with your shoulder. Mm-hmm. You didn't do that.
Okay.
You didn't do that. And there are, there are other witnesses, okay? We have other witnesses who said that, different things that they heard Sam talking. Now, the one witness, if you take a look at his statement, he says, he's down the hall from the apartment, but he sees Sam and he's looking, through this little peephole in the door, and he sees Sam walking in the hallway. Mm-hmm. What he says Sam is saying, if you listen to that 911 call, Sam is indicating to the 911 operator that he's in the room. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we have a witness that says, no, he wasn't in the room when he was saying that. He was walking in the hall.
Really?
So, all these things, all these things are questionable.
Mm-hmm. So
all these things are out there, okay, and we need answers to them.
Yeah.
Okay. Guy D'Andrea, this assistant district attorney in the homicide prosecution unit in Philadelphia, when I befriended him, he took a look at this case, okay? And he said, Tom, my yellow sticky should be all over that case. I said, yeah. He said, as a matter of fact, he said, every time I thought, I'm not really sure about this, he said, I would propose my things to other people in the office. And he said, the only thing everybody said was, hey, it's a homicide. It's a homicide. It's a homicide. So now you have Guy D'Andrea, okay, the assistant DA in the office, okay, at the time, takes a look at it. He said it's a homicide.
Mm-hmm.
He tells a supervisor, Jennifer Selber, Jennifer, I think this is a homicide.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing. Okay. The same folks. Okay. Same folks. Jennifer Selber. Christine Heim. Christopher Phillips. Guess where all those people went when they left Philadelphia?
Where?
The AG's office. Pennsylvania Attorney General's office.
Mm-hmm.
So now Krasner comes in. Gets the case, he comes in as DA, gets the case, refers it, recuses himself, and refers it to the Attorney General's office.
Mm-hmm.
The same people who were in the Philadelphia District Attorney's office.
Yeah.
These people aren't going to say, oh, now it's a homicide.
It just keeps juggling back and forth to the same people who don't want to do anything on this.
They didn't do nothing. They didn't do a damn thing. Not a damn thing.
Have you looked in? I'm sure you have. Is there, I guess the question is more so, is Samuel Goldberg well enough connected that there could theoretically be a cover-up going on here for people that don't want him to ruin his life or what have you for a murder, if in fact that took place, that would have the capability of covering this up to the level that on the surface it appears to be being covered up by?
Well, I refer to this case, as not enough litter in the box.
Okay.
And I keep telling everybody, you can stretch around in a box as much as you want. Mm-hmm. There's not enough litter in there, and air, you know, it's still going to stink. Mm-hmm. It will always stink. And, you know, I'm sorry, but up and until this occurs, you know, and you know, I don't know if you know Gavin Fish. He's also a podcaster like you.
Okay.
Gavin Fish received a letter from an individual who said that he was an attorney representing, okay, he represented Schwartzman and the Goldbergs. Mm-hmm. All right. And it was a cease and desist letter to Gavin. And he said, you know, he said that he says in his letter that Sam called Kanian Schwartzman, who is Jimmy Schwartzman's son.
Okay.
Kanian put Jimmy on the phone, and they were both talking to Sam prior to Sam's 911 call, okay? Mm-hmm. What did they advise Sam to do?
Yeah, what?
What were they advising Sam?
That is the question. Yeah, what is going on?
What are they advising Sam?
And why would he be calling?
They won't answer. They won't, you know, they won't take my calls. They won't sit down with me.
So what's their cease and desist about? Just talking about the case in general?
Oh, yeah, yeah. And the fact that, you know, Gavin says, okay, the Attorney General's office, you know, Josh Shapiro went to school with Jimmy Schwartzman's daughter. Mm-hmm. And they're both on the same fundraising committees for the academy, private academy that they were in. Mm-hmm. Okay. And their children were on the same athletic teams. Mm-hmm. So that's when Josh Shapiro said, we may have a conflict here. Although we don't have a conflict, we may, you know, rather than make it appear like a conflict, we would rather accuse ourselves if they send the case back to Philadelphia.
Wow.
Okay. Now, according to law, then it has to go to a neighboring, county. Mm-hmm. So they sent it to Chester County. They sent the case to Chester County. So now it's with the Chester County District Attorney's Office. Mm-hmm.
And that's where it sits right now.
That's where it sits. It's been sitting there probably at least 7 months.
Is there a reason why they haven't done anything yet? Or is it just convenient?
I don't know what the hell is going on.
Yeah.
I called the chief county detective, David Sessa, and David tells me, yep, Tom, we just got everything together and we're taking a look at it. You know, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. And it's
we'll be talking to you. Okay, David.
Yeah.
I'm here. They still haven't talked to me.
How bizarre. And what's amusing to me is also the attempt to try and quiet people from just discussing this. That seems very,
you know, in Philadelphia, okay, the judge in Philadelphia. Okay, we filed the case because Joe Pedraza, our attorney, God bless him, mm-hmm. he and Will Trest, they are, you know, they're very aggressive attorneys. And in this case, they outdid themselves simply because, I mean, they just really outdid themselves. But anyway, Joseph Pedraza and Will Trest, they filed saying that, you know, the medical examiner's office was capricious in their decision to say suicide. Mm-hmm. arbitrary and capricious, okay? So the judge in Philadelphia says, okay, this thing is going to, you know, going to trial. Where, you know, Philadelphia says no. The city of Philadelphia argues otherwise. They say, no, we aren't. The judge says, yes, you are. We're going to trial this day. Okay, they appeal it. Judge says, nope, your appeal's bad. City, we're going to trial. City appeals it. Now we're in Commonwealth Court. Commonwealth Court, Pennsylvania Commonwealth Court, heard this case back in November. Okay? Mm-hmm. We still don't have a decision from Commonwealth Court on what it is. Three judges from Commonwealth Court, Pennsylvania, heard it. The judge in Philadelphia did a 16-page opinion and sent it to Commonwealth Court on why he says, you know, he denied the city's appeals. Mm-hmm. So we'll see. That case is still pending. And we also have a civil case, and we've named Dr. Osborne, Dr. Galeno, and Dr. Lindsay Emery, a neuroforensic pathologist, mm-hmm. who, during her deposition, said that the one wound specimen that she examined was postmortem. Now, how the hell do you stab yourself in the back of the neck after you're dead?
Is that going to be, you think, the direction that going after this civilly initially that may open up criminal charges at some point by being able to get information through discovery on a civil case, and then enough comes out and it goes, well, look at this.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so, because, you know, they have to, you know, if once we go, you know, with on these civil cases, I think possibly in August we are going to go out and say, okay, here's the subpoenas. We want a copy of everything, copy of all the records, you know.
Yeah.
All of it. Everything that you have, we want. So, you know, and then we'll take a look at what they have, okay? But, you know, I have never, ever, okay, and I, you know, I'm looking at this, and the father says to me, he said, well, I don't think you've ever taken a look at a case like this. And as you know, in the past years, I would say to him, well, I don't think so. But, you know, honestly, today I can honestly say I have never, ever had a case like this, ever.
So bizarre. And just,
I mean,
so
really, yeah. I mean, it really, really, really reeks.
It does. And it's in coming from such obvious places. And that's the scary part. It's
the politics, the money, you know, it's just unbelievable.
Well, it's certainly, I mean, it's heartbreaking for those parents who wanted to try and find some sort of resolution and, I mean, closure, if you can even have closure when you lose your daughter, but just something, and the denial of that to them is just heartbreaking. Go ahead.
Okay. I look at things and we just had a state police luncheon for the retirees. Okay? Mm-hmm. There were over 100 there. Okay.
Yeah.
They're all looking at me and going, because of all this, you know, all of it that was in paper and all this other stuff. And I said, you know, what the hell is going on, Tom, with that Greenberg case you're doing? I said, guys, I'm sorry, guys. I just don't know. I really don't know. And you're talking to an individual, okay, that had, you know, number one, he advised the last appointed attorney general of his rights. Mm-hmm. Okay. And the next day, when I was doing the same thing to the governor, who lost his memory, okay, that day.
Yeah.
You know, and politicians after politicians after politicians, you know, and then you take a look at you take a look at this case. And I told Sandy and Josh right at the beginning, I said, you folks are going to have to be extremely, extremely patient. And if you don't want to fight, then I think we should, you know, I should walk away.
Yeah.
And they said, no, they're in it for the long run. And God bless them both. And I told them, and they said, they asked me, they said, why? And I said, because you don't understand about Philly politics. And they said, what? I said, Philly politics, I don't care what anybody says. You know, I work Philly politics. I had the organized crime with the state police. I worked in Philly mm-hmm. 3 years.
Yeah.
Okay. Philly politics are so corrupt, and I don't care what anybody says. Mm-hmm. They are so corrupt. I mean, Philly is just unbelievable. It's just unbelievable. You know, and I worked with Philly Major Crimes, Philadelphia PD Major Crimes, for 8 years. Mm-hmm. 8 years we worked. The Pennsylvania State Police and Philadelphia Major Crimes worked together. You know, I went after people like Rizzo's son, you know, Rizzo's son-in-law.
Sure.
And arrested him.
Yeah.
You know, and you take a look at this and you wonder what's going on here?
Why, yeah. And yeah, why
tell me why the city of Philadelphia is expending all of these resources on this.
Yeah.
Why can't they just come out and say, undetermined, see you later?
Yeah.
You guys go through what you want to do.
Yeah.
Go investigate your ass off.
Yeah. What are they hiding? Why are they hiding it? I mean, does it have anything to do with Sam? Who knows? I mean, exactly. Just to find out, just to be able to go down that road, and you hit the roadblock every time.
Yeah. You know? Why?
This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi.
There's more to come in my conversation with Thomas Brennan, private investigator into the murder of Ellen Greenberg. New segments playing Monday through Friday this week on the podcast. Be sure to press subscribe so you don't miss any of this very intriguing story. Stay with us.